Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Deborah Cobray ministers the Word of God. Have a seat. My husband is Jim Cobray, so if you're here for the first time, I'm Debbie Cobray and I'm his wife. And I am a mother of four, an mother-in-law of four, and I love all my sons and my daughters, and a grandmother soon to be of 10. And out of the 10, 9 are boys and 1 is a girl. And so God is really bringing forth nations and tribes out of our family. And I believe that. I believe that God works in families. And I believe that God wants to breathe his life in your family. And if you're married tonight, I hope that this is a blessing to you. If you're single tonight, this is going to be good for you. And if you're a man in the audience tonight, you're not to be offended. So men, you can't get offended at me, okay? So say, okay. Okay, because I'm a grandma and I don't mean to make you feel bad or disrespect you in any way. And girls, I love you. You know I love you, but we can't get offended about some of the things that we are, okay? Because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so I had this bright idea and I said, Jim, it's just helped me so much to understand you. And I've taught it to the girls. I think I need to bring this on our marriage series because, you know, I think it's going to help marriages. And I was talking and praying and I was just talking to the Lord about you tonight. And I realized that there's about four types of people here. There is the happily ever after people. And you're married and you love it. Woo! You're the happily ever after. And God wants us to have a happy ever after. Because the end of the book is a storybook ending. And then there's the people that are married and wish they weren't. So don't clap right now. That's you. And then there's the single people that are single and are so happy they're single they don't want to be married. Woohoo! Now you can clap for those. Because I know some. Actually, it's a gift to be single, and if you are single and you don't want to be married, God says, you know what, you can actually take your life and use it in a way that married people can't, because you belong exclusively to me. And then there's the single that wants to be married, and you've got a lonely heart. And Valentine's Day is not a happy day for you, because it's a sad day for you. But I've got good news, because if you want to be married, it's the will of God for you to be married, because he says if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll fulfill the desires of your heart. So girls, if you're not married and you want to be married, then I would say two things. Get yourself ready, because God's going to work on you before he brings you as a gift to that man. And if their sons are in the house and they want to be ready, I would say, well, get responsible and get ready, because God's going to bring you a gift. Because God says that a good wife is a gift from the Lord. And he who finds her obtains the favor of God. So men, you need to start looking, and girls, you need to start being available. Okay, so I've said that. So there's hope for everybody in here. But what I wanted to share tonight is the differences between men and women. And there are very, very big differences. Although we are the same, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so let me just open with a scripture. And in Psalm 139, David writes and says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." So God has made man on purpose, and he's made woman on purpose, and we are different by design. We are not the same, although we are similar, and woman has the only ability on the earth to stand face to face with man and to be able to understand him and be able to be his partner in life, because the animal kingdom certainly cannot do that. Although men, sometimes I know you wish that, you know, a good dog would be as good as a harping wife, but God's made woman for purpose and man for purpose, and we are extremely different. And so tonight I wanted to explain some of those differences. Now, there's a great book that we have in the bookstore, and I read it, gosh, about a year ago. And it says, men are like waffles and women are like spaghetti. So I'm going to be using that tonight. That's why I said you can't get offended about the food thing in your brains. Because we are fearfully and wonderfully made, but we are definitely different. So here we have a woman. As you can see, our Creative Communications Department has made her beautiful. And here we have a man. So, they've done the best they can, and he's wearing a nice t-shirt. Sold in the bookstore, by the way, if you want to buy it. And you know, my husband said to me, you know, and I preached with him. We're doing a team teaching tag thing, and I was telling him the story of Chloe, you know, our one granddaughter, and she's got all these boy cousins, and she says, Mom, you need to explain me to them because they don't want to play with me, and they don't want to play with my tea sets, and they don't want to play dolls with me, and the mother of three of the cousins, she looked at Chloe, and she just sort of made a face, and she said, oh, Chloe, you don't understand. They don't want to know. They don't care. And then I talked to my husband about that, and he says, yeah, that's right, honey. He says, just get on the back of the horse with me, and you're along for the ride. But I don't think that's actually true. I think you men really do want to understand us. At least I want to believe that. So don't humor me with a lie if you don't believe that. Because it does say in 1 Peter chapter 3, 7, husbands, likewise, dwell with your wives with understanding. And so God wants you men to get us. He says, live with them with understanding, because that little girl can make your life miserable, or she can make your life heaven. So it will help you if you understand what a woman is like, and women, it will help us if we understand how men tick. So this book, which I'm going to be quoting from and using as an example tonight, because it takes complicated medical issues and biological issues, and it brings them down to where the common, everyday, non-medical person like you and me can understand it. Spaghetti and waffle. Right here. So let's start with the men. Men are like waffles. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, they're problem solvers by nature. They enter a box and they size up the problem and they formulate the solution. So if I could just have a picture of a man on a waffle. There you go, guys. There you are. Okay, so here's the brain. And here's how you function according to medical science and biology. Biology. God says that you are problem solvers by divine design. In other words, that men compartmentalize life. They take a problem, or they take a situation, or they take a piece of life, and they actually have a box for it. So you see those boxes? A man's thinking is divided up into boxes. The first issue goes into the first box. The second issue goes into the second box, and so on and so on. Now, you guys call this focusing. Science calls it compartmentalizing. So, what does that mean? It means, girls, that when our husbands are tinkering in the garage, that's exactly what they're doing. They're tinkering in the garage. When they're changing the oil, that's what they're doing. They're changing the oil. When they're at work, they're at work. When they're on the couch watching ESPN, they're watching TV. That's what they're doing. You see, I think women, because I'm going to show you in a minute how we are, we look at you guys and we don't understand how you can focus and how you can tune out screaming children everywhere. How you can be babysitting and not notice that there's a poopy diaper that's gone everywhere. I mean, Pastor David last week gave a little testimony and he says, now this is child abuse. And he had Aubrey, his five-year-old, in the back of the car. He forgot her and left her in the garage locked in the car. Now, you might wonder, how can that happen? But maybe he was in another box. So, men, you are problem solvers by nature because God has called you to be provider and protector. That is your role. That's one of your main roles. So, you are going to process your lives in boxes with separate holding places. In your careers, you study what it's going to take to be in that career, and you focus on that, and you get it done. You are actually, according to science and test studies, greater risk takers than women are. You shoot from the hip when you make decisions, whereas women make decisions more in a process. You will shoot from the hip, and so in a market study called Testosterone Rush, in a science project, they actually studied men and women in the marketplace, and they found that men are better risk takers, and they actually enjoy taking the risk. It's not that women won't take risks, because they do. We just don't enjoy it nearly as much as the men do. Now, remember, I'm generalizing, so you can be girls in the house, and you can say, no, that's not me. Or you can be a man in the house and say, no, that's not how I am. This is just a general waffle, okay? Somewhere you fit in that waffle. So let's talk about your waffles. You will strategically organize your life and the things that come at you in life in boxes. The one thing that a man strives for more than anything else is success. Men are driven for success, and they're driven by success. They want to be successful. Now, it's not that the girls don't want to be successful, but not quite like the men. So there's a driving factor in you, and it's called success. If a man finds that he's good at something, it's going to make him feel good about himself, and he's going to camp in that box a lot. That is why sports has been invented by men, because they're good at it. From sports to computers to fishing, if they're good at it, they're going to spend their time in it. Remember, they're driven by success. There's a need inside of a man, a God-given need, to produce and multiply and bear fruit in the earth and have dominion. It's not a bad thing. It's a wonderful thing. Men are driven by success, and that is a motivating factor. You're more competitive than women. You have testosterone. Obviously, we have estrogen. It's a massive difference in hormones. But these hormones and this biology actually causes you to process life differently. So men have many, many boxes, and they live in these boxes one at a time. Now, I wanted to show you that there are boxes that are blank, and there are empty boxes, and there are filled boxes. So we did a little video kind of about this whole thing for the women's conference, and take a look at the screen.
Everywhere you go, people talk about the difference between men and women. To discover some know-how, let's follow Joan Roberts into her home.
Hey. You are not going to believe what happened to me today. They decided to put a new education award in at the university, and they've asked me to oversee the budget. Can you believe that?
Wow, that's great.
Okay, believe this? Women have been fighting for equal rights for years, and now finally I see progress. You know, it's really neat that you treat the women you work with such great respect. Savannah's so lucky to have a dad like you. Oh, she has a soccer game tonight, and I think it's important that we both be there because the Johnsons are going to be there, and Savannah and Brittany have become such good friends, so I think it's important that we meet her parents.
Dan is lost in the conversation. He is frantically trying to keep up. You see, men communicate in boxes one at a time. If Joan isn't careful, Dan could get so tired and lost, he just might give up and retreat to the nothing box. Yes, men can think about nothing. Blank, empty, nothing. Let me explain this further. To help relieve stress, a man will park in the nothing spot and relax. Amazingly, his wife always seems to notice when he is parked. She observes his blank look and the relaxed posture he has taken on the couch. She assumes this is a good time to talk, so she invariably asks,
"Hey, honey, what are you thinking about?"
He immediately panics because he knows if he's telling the truth, she will think he's lying. If he says nothing, she'll think he's hiding something and is afraid to talk about it. Not wanting to disappoint, he's desperately trying to park in another space. But if he can't think that quickly, well...
Nothing.
What's wrong? Are you mad at me? Are we having a fight? Do you need to talk about it? Did you lose your job? Is everything okay? Are we going to lose the house? What's wrong?
Well, folks, one thing we've learned is that men and women think very differently.
So you can see. And Lily and Carrie did a great job on that. We had a lot of fun at the women's conference. And we laugh at this, and it's good to laugh because laughter is medicine. And when you understand that men, and if we're putting this in very very simplistic forms, and women are like spaghetti, men are like waffles. We'll get to the girls in a minute. But when the women understand, I think when the men understand, that you do compartmentalize, and that God's made your brains in such a way that you focus on one thing at a time. As a matter of fact, biologically, when a woman is going to have a son and not a girl, and those chromosomes split, there's what they call a testosterone wash in the first trimester of pregnancy. And the neuroconnectors that divide both sides of the brain, or actually connect both sides of the brain, they're washed by this testosterone, and a man's neuroconnectors are disconnected. Now, there is still neuroconnectors between both sides of the brain. Guys, you can still use both sides of the brain, but you've gone from a superhighway, which a woman has, to a dirt road. I'm just kidding. But men have to shut down one part of the brain to use another. because they compartmentalize. But men's brains are amazing. You actually have a larger left side of your brain than a woman has. Do you know that a man is actually able to rotate an object mentally, whereas women do not have that type of ability on the right side of their brain? Now, I'm saying this is general. There might be people in here that can do that. Men have a greater ability, brain-wise, to understand mathematics and dimensions and depth perception and things like that, where women actually are more wired on the right side of the brain for language and for things like that. So you see, God has made us. Remember, he pulled woman out of man. And then he brought this amazing creation that was taken out of Adam back to Adam, and he said, I've divided you so that you can become one, and that together you form a picture of God. And one isn't greater than the other. One isn't more, you know, more intelligent. One is not. One doesn't have a greater ability. But we have different giftings by design. And I think when we understand that, we begin to appreciate and be in awe and marvel at how fearfully and wonderfully we're made. So men have these compartments in their brains. And like we said and like we showed, they have the empty box. Now, when I learned that Jim had an empty box, it really helped me. Because he has a box, and you men have a box in your brain. Can I have the waffle up there again? Okay, there's your waffle. Let's say there is work, school, wife, children, friends, sports. And right in the center of your waffle, there's going to be a very big box, and it's called sex. But down over there, off to the side, there is a box, and there could be many boxes, and I think the boxes start to fill up as you age, because I'm sure some of my grandsons have many empty boxes right now. And that is the nothing box. And that is where you go to relieve stress. And it's actually a wonderful thing, because a man is able, because he can focus and he can put his life in compartments, men can actually shut down. Now, girls, we don't really understand that, because spaghetti is all connected. That's why men can take naps. How many guys in here can just take a 10-minute nap and you are so refreshed? Yeah, that's you. And you know, when you're in your nothing box, you know, when you're just zoning out and there's no words, because men actually have great feeling and great emotion, but they don't necessarily have the ability like a woman to verbalize it. Therefore, they have boxes where they have memories, but and they feel good about those memories, but they really can't talk about it. So girls, when we are looking at them and they look like they're all peaceful or something, and we ask, what are they thinking? And they say nothing, they mean nothing. That's exactly what they're thinking. They're blank. And it's okay, because men, listen, God looked at Adam and said, you know, Adam, because of the sin that's happened, because you've unraveled this whole thing, and because you've handed dominion over to Satan, that you are going to work by the sweat of your brow, and there's going to be weeds and thorns and thistles all of your life. What should have been easy and a blessing, as you have a need to succeed and take dominion and multiply and subdue the earth, now, Adam, you're going to have weeds, thorns, and thistles. And everything, because of the curse, is going to be hard for you. Now, we're redeemed from the curse as Christians, but it doesn't mean that we don't have to live through this fallen world. And guys, you have an empty box, or maybe a couple empty boxes, and that's where you de-stress. Now, we had a panel. It was called The Mantle at the Women's Conference, and I think Cameron had just such a great example about his empty box. So watch this video.
First, I want to clarify something. I don't have a nothing box. I have a nothing resort that I go to. So if you just have a box, guys, you're going to have to upgrade or something. When we are in our zone, I'm sitting on the bed watching a baseball game or something, and you come tell me about something that needs to be done tomorrow, what the? No. No. If you're not in here with a bat in your hand and a uniform on, I'm not really ready for that right now. Although, huh.
So, girls, men are not that complicated. They're actually amazing. God's made them a certain way to provide and protect us, to watch over the family. And they do have these nothing boxes. And when my husband, tell me if this isn't true, Jim, when Jim's in his nothing box and he's on the couch and he'll just be just maybe just sort of relaxing and his eyes closed and he's just about to take that 10-minute nap, I will just, little Mary Sunshine just come skipping into the room. say, "Oh, honey, how are you? Are you awake?" And I will wake him up invariably every time. Is that not true? It's like we have this radar when you're in your nothing boxes to come into your lives and get you out of those boxes. Now, there is one other box that I just wanted to briefly touch on, and my husband's going to really touch on this next week, but it is the box. Can I have the waffle back up there? There we go. Where's our waffle? Okay. Now, if you can just imagine a very big box in the middle of your waffle, that is the sex box. Now, sex and marriage is a gift from God. And it's an amazing thing because God says the two shall become one flesh and that they will form an intimacy, spirit to spirit, flesh to flesh, face to face, that will actually bring them into a oneness that they can't have any other way. Now, Satan has so demeaned this and so perverted this that now in our culture, it's sex with everybody anytime you want. But God never designed sex that way. He designed the actual act of intercourse to be an incredible expression of love and security and commitment and fellowship one to one. And when there is this unbelievable and amazing commitment and joining together, there is life that is birthed. It's an amazing thing. And God has formed and fashioned us very differently because men are like microwaves, and I think we're like crockpots because men look at sex in a completely different way than women do. And I just wanted to read this to you, and then we're going to just take one more moment to look at what one of our men taught us about sex and men. Men are microwaves and women are crockpots. Men have a sex box put in the middle of the waffle. If you want to impress him, or if you want to impress your wife, guys, you will compliment her, cuddle her, kiss her, love her, stroke her, tease her, comfort her. She wants to be listened to. She wants to be cared for. If you want to impress her, you are going to stand by her, support her, and go to the ends of the earth for her. It's called romance. If you want to impress your man, girls, show up naked. And my son-in-law gave us some great instruction at the daughters' conference on the mantle. So watch the screen.
Okay, we're going to go to question number 3. What advice would you give to a working wife whose husband doesn't assist her with household responsibilities when they both get home, such as kids, cleaning, cooking, etc.? Richie, we're going to go to you on this.
Well, this one's easy too. You guys have the key to the candy shop, so. No, listen. If you work an 8-hour day and your husband works an 8-hour day, then he should be doing half the housework. He should be changing diapers, washing dishes, and if he's not, get the key and lock the door to the candy shop.
Yeah. As you can see around here, we are deeply spiritual. Let's go to the women. So, bottom line, girls, is men are problem solvers by nature. That's what God's made them to do. He's made them to be amazing sons on the earth. They're driven by success, and it's God-given. Now, of course, before Jesus Christ, it can be all wrong, but in Jesus, it's a beautiful and a redemptive thing that God has put inside of a man to take care of his family, to love his family, and to provide for his family, and to be successful. And I believe our job as women of God is to help these men in a fallen world be as successful as they can be. Which brings us to the girls. Now, men are like waffles, but women are like spaghetti because our brains are wired completely different. Now, this is going to help you guys, so listen up. Okay, can I have a picture? So there you see the woman's brain. Whereas the man had compartments, neat and focused, women, on the other hand, we process life like a bowl of pasta. Spaghetti noodles. Everything is touching everything. We are intersecting and we are connecting every single thing that happens in life. That is why we can come home from work, look at our husbands, and we can start on one subject, and we can relate it all the way to something else that to that man who's in a box can't figure out where we've gone and how did we get from here all the way over here. Can I get a witness in the house with the sons? Every noodle touches every noodle in a bowl of pasta, and in a woman's life, God has made her to be the connector. She is the connector of humanity, whereas the man is the provider, the protector, the problem solver. God has pulled woman out of man. He says, now she is going to come back to man. Life is going to come from her, and she's going to connect all of this together. Whereas men are in compartments, women join everything together. We are actually able to use all of our physical senses and to connect it with our emotions. That is why, men, you'll probably never understand what it's like to be a woman, because you'll never have a monthly cycle or give birth, and you won't understand that. Just like girls, we'll never understand what it's like to be a man, because we'll never have a testosterone wash and that power and that surge of dominance that comes into a man's life. But it doesn't mean that we can't grow together and in our lives make it a lifetime project and journey to love each other, admire each other, and to understand each other. So let's talk about the girls a little bit. She will constantly need, because she links everything together, she's going to need to talk things out. She's actually going to use her language to explain to you all her connections. Now, men, since your language is not as developed as ours, you're trying to figure it out, and you don't know how she links the emotional, the logical, and the relational, and the spiritual aspects all together. She will come to you and she'll want to talk about something, and you'll want to sit down with her and you'll want to problem solve, because that's what you do. And she just wants to talk, because she really has the answer on the inside of her. And as she begins to talk to someone that she is secure with, because a man is driven by the need for success and a woman is driven by the need for security. So when she comes to you, she doesn't need you to sit down with her and solve her problem. She just needs you to sit there, not go to your empty box, but sit there and listen, and the answer just sort of bubbles out of her as she begins to talk and work it all out. Girls, is that true? Yeah. So the guys, as we saw in the film with Willie, really don't know quite what to do about that. Now, in decision-making processes, men shoot from the hip. They make a decision faster than a woman normally. And women will make a decision based on relationship, emotions, and how it's going to affect the whole group. They have found this out. They study this out. And I think it's interesting that women are the relational piece of humanity. And without women, you boys would stay in your boxes. But women are there in your lives to draw you out. So how do we get along? How do we work this out? Because I think that we can drive each other a little crazy. Men are simple. They have some pretty basic needs. They want to be fed. They want to have sleep. They want to have a job. They want to have good sex with you if you're married. If you're not married, nope. Get married. Women, on the other hand, are the drama queens, and we are much more complicated because our spaghetti is everywhere. But God has called us to work together. So as we close tonight, and as you work with men and women in the marketplace, and as you live together in the home, and as you raise sons and daughters, I hope this helps you to think of men like waffles and women like spaghetti. One isn't greater than another, but we're vastly different. And we are the connectors, and men are the problem solvers. Now, it doesn't mean that women can't solve problems. We solve many, many problems. We just do it completely differently than men. We interconnect everything. And men focus on one thing and then go to the next. So I want to just give you three things to leave you with tonight. Three things on how do we live together. What does God say about all this? Let me just share three quick things. I think, number one, we're going to have to learn to be savvy with each other. We're different. One is not superior to another. We live in a culture where there has been a gender war. It started in the garden when Eve and Adam fell from sin, and the first thing that happened after they fell was they began to accuse each other. When God came and he says, what have you done? And Adam said, it's the woman you gave me, God. So he blamed God because he gave him the woman, and he blamed the woman. He took no responsibility for himself. That was the beginning of sin. That's the first time we see it. Excuses, right? And mankind and humanity is full of excuses. And I think if we're going to learn to live together well and do this well, we're going to have to, number one, communicate wisely with each other. Communicate wisely. What does that mean? Proverbs 15:28, it says, "The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil." When we're going to sit down and discuss and talk in the marketplace, on the job, or in our marriages, I think we're going to have to, girls, first of all, we're going to have to focus. We're going to have to remember that men have compartments. They're problem solvers. So if you want to talk to your husband or to your friend, and you don't want them to solve your problem, clue them in on that. Let them know that before you start, because they're going to be trying to go from point to point to point to figure out how to help you. And they need to know that you can solve this problem yourself. You just need their heart and the safety of their heart to listen. Men, if you're listening to women, focus. Because even though you can quickly go to your nothing box and stare at us with eyes that are there, we know that you're really not there. Because remember, we're spaghetti and we can sense it. So I think you have to listen carefully, even though you may not want to. And even though you're ready to just get to the headline and forget the details, if you could be long-suffering and let that girl in your life or that daughter in your life, that wife or that mom, the one that just is looking for safety and security and she's found it in your heart, let her talk to you and let her have a heart-to-heart. So girls, let's get to the headlines on the marketplace, in meetings, at work. Headlines, not details. Men, listen carefully. Communicating wisely. What else does it mean? It means that we're going to have to, both of us, men and women, learn the art of a compliment and the power of encouraging words. Life is tough. Life is mean. Apart from Jesus Christ, there is no mercy or kindness or goodness. But in the kingdom of God, it's amazing how encouragement and a healthy word and a word of hope can cheer a heart. And men, you need to be encouraged. And you need to be strengthened in your hearts by the women in your life. And women, you need to be strengthened and you need to be encouraged by the men in your life. So when you speak to each other, our mothers taught us a long time ago, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say it at all. That's actually a very wise thing to do. And if you do have something good to say, don't withhold it. Be quick to say something encouraging and something that will build another's heart. Let me give you a verse for that. Anxiety, it's Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. You know, just because our guys don't talk to us about their emotions, they don't talk to us about their dreams and their visions, and they keep things to themselves a lot of times, which frustrates a woman because her spaghetti wants to get in there and understand it all. Doesn't mean that a man doesn't need a word of encouragement and a good word to make his heart glad. You know, guys, women live in a very difficult world themselves. They live in a world of beauty and false glamour and false expectations. They live in a world of danger. And they need to be encouraged and they need to be loved just like you do. Whether you are married or whether you're just in the body of Christ and women are in your life through your family and through the church, women need a good encouraging word just like a man does. So, how are we going to live together wisely? We're going to start with our communication. We're going to focus. Headlines, not the details, girls. No rabbit trails because they don't follow us. We're going to be good listeners, which means, men, that we don't always need a problem solved. We just need a good ear to talk to. And the art of a compliment and the power of encouraging words. Number two, what else do we do? I think if we're going to do something to live together successfully and to be magnificent, which is what God wants us to be, to make his name famous, to make people want what we're having, we're going to have to learn to respect each other wholeheartedly. Men need respect, but so do women. God created humanity in his image, and on the inside of us is a God picture. And I don't care what country you're from. I don't care what type of health you're in, whether you are challenged physically or mentally, or whether you are a hot jock and you can do everything, or you're a brainchild. Everybody needs to be respected, because on the inside of us is the God image, because we're made in the image of God. And I love what this says, and if I can read the scripture to you. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, in the Message Bible, this is what it says. Treat everyone with dignity. Treat everyone with dignity. From the person at the checkout counter, to the person at the bank, to the people on your job, to the stranger that walks down the street that you're looking at. Sometimes in our homes, this is the hardest thing to do when you're angry or you've lost respect. God says, treat everyone with dignity. In Matthew 7:12, this is what it says in the Message. And Jim was on this verse, but I just want to say it again because it's the golden rule. And actually, this is the one rule in the kingdom of God, because we're in a kingdom and it has laws. This is the one law that if we would do this law, we would eradicate sin. Listen to this. Here is a simple rule of thumb, a guide for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. Add up God's law and prophets, and this is what you get. Think about it. If we lived by this, then we would never pollute a stream because we wouldn't want our water to be polluted if we were business people. If we lived by this, we would never disrespect our wives because we don't want to be disrespected by them. If we lived by this, we wouldn't get angry at somebody because we wouldn't want them to get angry with us. If we lived by this rule, everything that we did, we would do it conscious of whatever it is we're doing to them, that's what's going to come back to us. Because you reap what you sow. Are you following me? Yeah. This isn't rocket science. God has made this very simple to understand. He said this sums up the whole thing. If you don't want people to gossip about you, then don't gossip about them. Amen. If you want people to be a friend to you, then you're going to have to be a friend to them. If you want people to do something for you, then you're going to have to do something for them. Whatever you want people to do for you. Gosh, I wish he was nicer to me. I wish he wasn't so curt and so rough with me all the time. I wish he didn't talk to me that way. Well, how are you talking to him? Because God says that you reap what you sow. And whatever you want someone to do to you, even if they're not doing it, God, this verse says, take the initiative and do it first. You know, there's an old story about a traveler, and he was leaving one place and going to another. And as he left this one city, he was going to another city, and there was this old man sitting on a rock just before he entered the city. And he said, old man, tell me, what is the city like that I'm coming into? The old man said, well, what was the city like that you left? He says, well, they were rude, they were mean, they were coarse, they gossiped, and they didn't like me. And the old man looked at the young man and says, well, I guess that's exactly what you're going to find in this city. They're going to be rude, they're going to be mean, they're going to be coarse, and they're not going to like you. And the young man went off. And then another young man came up. He was traveling, and he saw the old man. He said, old man, what kind of people am I going to find in this city? The old man looked at him and said, well, tell me, what kind of people did you leave in the other city? And he says, oh, it was a wonderful place. They were happy, and they were positive, and they loved each other, and they cared about each other, and they encouraged each other, and it was just hard for me to leave, but I had to move on. The old man looked at the young man and said, you know what? You're going to find the same thing in this city. You're going to find people that love each other, that encourage each other, that believe in each other. It's going to be hard to leave if you ever have to this city, too, because this is a wonderful place. Moral of the story is that you're going to find what you are. Because that's our perspective. Because we don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. And until we change our perspective, nothing's going to change in our lives. So God says, because everything depends on you. Now, Sunday I said, if you spit at me, you don't make me mad, you make me wet. How I respond is up to me. And my perspective, how I respond to life, is going to be how life comes back at me. Whatever you want someone to do for you, take the initiative and do it for them. And you know, the hardest place to start is our families, because it's where we know each other intimately. We know the good, the bad, and the ugly. But God says it's in the family. It's in the family that is a test tube for love. And it's in the family that this all works. And it flows out of the family into society. So number one, communicate wisely. Number two, respect wholeheartedly. Last one, love unconditionally. I love this one. Colossians 3:11 in the Message Bible says, words, Actually, this is Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. It says, words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free, mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline, be even-tempered, content with second place. Oh, if we didn't jockey for positions. Quick to forgive an offense, forgive as quickly and completely as the Master has forgiven you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. So God says, put on your wardrobe. Put on the love of God. Forgive and forget quickly. Use kindness. It will reach more people and save more people than a good sermon. And be willing to play second fiddle, to make somebody else successful, to die to your opinion, to get along, to love each other, to believe in each other. So number one, the spaghetti and the waffles were different, were wonderfully made, and God made us by design, on purpose, to complement each other. So let's communicate wisely. Let's respect each other, because men need to be respected, but so do women. And number three, let's love unconditionally, because then what man is seeking and what woman is seeking, security and success, listen to this, we will be secure and successful in Christ Jesus together. Did you get something out of tonight? Well,
we want to thank you for listening to Pastor Deborah Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about the Rock Church or other resources, log on to www.rockchurch.com.